WERU is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. Thank you.
And thank you all very much for tuning in to the American Folk Festival over the weekend. What an incredible event, and we all had so much fun listening and being there. Hope you were there and enjoyed it. If you weren't, I hope you heard us. It was stellar. Hey, we've got a patchy fog this morning, a little bit. Sunny now, 76 is a high, low of 53. Tomorrow looks like a patchy fog day again, partly sunny with a high of 72. Showers likely Wednesday night, the low of 59. Thursday, showers likely. We had a little warning that there may be some heavy, heavy showers. It's a 70% chance of rain on Thursday, so watch out for that. A high of 72, low of 58. Stay tuned for Maynard's Alive with Michael Donahue. We've got a look at the Penobscot Theater's coming event, and that's going to be a lot of fun to listen to live in our studio right now.
Welcome one and all to Maine Arts Alive. And we are alive, the arts in the state. Boy, from one point to another, there's arts going on. And today we have one of the leading portions, what's the great word? One of the leaders of that is here, the Penobscot Theater Company, who are about to open their 46th season with something very, very interesting. But first I want to introduce you to our guests. Tova Volchek.
Hello.
Greetings.
Hi, thank you.
Now, Barry Newport, who I will introduce you to in a moment, who's the director, classifies you as an actress, singer, and fiddler.
I am. I'm all of the above.
That fits.
It does fit. I started playing violin when I was 4, and then I got into acting and singing pretty regularly when I was about 16, 17, and then only just in the past year or so, I started combining my strings to the stage with me. So here we are.
Here you are.
Here we are.
And Jeremy Sovelovitz.
That's correct. Good morning.
What brought you here?
Well, Barry. I've done some work with the Penobscot Theater Company over the last few years. I was here in, I believe it was 2015 for Ring of Fire, the Johnny Cash musical. And then this past New Year's, we did a Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers tribute show.
Wow.
Which was a lot of fun.
I'll bet.
Yes, it was.
And Barry has you. This is quite a label.
Uh-huh. Let's see.
If you put this on your letterhead, you're not going to have room for the letter. Actor, singer, music director, multi-instrumentalist. Does that fit you?
That sounds about right.
He's very talented.
That sounds about right.
Jeremy's a star.
And leading this interesting group of people is Barry Newport, who's the producing artistic director for Penobscot. Welcome, Barry.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's always nice to have you back here because we have feedback that the shows that you do are just top-notch.
Oh, really? The shows I do live or the shows we do on the stage?
I have no idea how to answer that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Well, let's just jump into the deep end here.
Sounds good.
Your show is Woody Guthrie's American Song.
That's correct.
Now, the audience out there is probably ranging age from 15 or so to 80.
Yeah.
Is this show for one of that group or all of that group?
It's American Song. It's for everybody. It's for you and me.
That's right. That's right.
We sing that. That's a spoiler. A fun fact. We were actually just talking about it in the room that, maybe the older generations are more familiar with this music and with Woody Guthrie, but American history is so important, and we learn about it in school, so why not see it on stage as well? And Woody Guthrie was known for telling about history with a guitar and putting it with words, and it's for everybody at every stage of their life, no matter where they are. I mean, if we're teaching 7-year-olds about Christopher Columbus, we might as well sing about Woody Guthrie and the 30s and the 40s and everything that happened in between.
And Woody had an interesting perspective, having lived through the Dust Bowl and the American industrial rise in New York, and just times of our history that maybe get overlooked these days.
They do.
With
well, that's what I'm wondering, whether or not Well, I've got several questions, but sure. One of them is that when I first saw the title of this particular piece, my mind went back to my 60s, you know, in the 1960s and so on. But I'm 70-some-odd years.
Years
and
young.
That's my audience. So
yeah. Right.
It's hard for me to make the transition into a younger audience, and I'm wondering what it is you're doing that brings it to them, sometimes anew.
Well, what's so fascinating and what's really been an interesting journey working on this show is to read these lyrics and Woody's words. The entire script, to my knowledge, is taken from Woody's writings. So even our dialogue is passages from Woody's journal or letters that he wrote or different just different ideas that he had jotted down somewhere along the line. And to revisit these words that were written in the 1930s, 1940s, 1950s, and to see them have such relevance to the events that are happening today is really fascinating. It's really interesting to see a man who had his finger so on the pulse of what was happening then, mm-hmm. and just, you know, and that's not just current events and politics and all of that, but just the human connection, person to person. Woody just had that down, and it's really lovely to bring those words to a stage, you know, in the coming weeks.
That's interesting. Barry, what made you choose this particular piece?
Honestly, I chose it because I really loved the arrangements of the music. I think that the arrangements, so we're doing it with six people, and everybody's playing something.
A multitude of instruments,
yes. A multitude of instruments.
Six actor musicians. So we are not only the actors portraying different characters in Woody's life, but we're also the entire band. No music is coming from anywhere else but the six bodies on stage.
That's right.
We are playing live.
And vocally, it's really beautifully challenging. I mean, that much is clear. Yeah. This is a very, very difficult show. I think that you all would agree
it's
with
true.
That.
Yes.
Musically.
It is. You know, but funny enough, I've found that for me, I've done, you know, musicals out the wazoo, and I've belted my face off, and we've sung sweet songs. But for whatever reason, this show has been the easiest on my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't feel strained. I don't know if it's, mm-hmm. you know, maybe there's no intention of, you know, I have to sing loud now because that's what the character is supposed to do.
Right. Yeah.
It just fits well, which mm-hmm. is, it just rests well with my voice and my body, and which I think is interesting. I was waiting for, like, to wake up one morning and be like, oh no, I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, the vocal arrangements are as beautiful and complex as they are, they sit well with a performer.
There's 34 songs, I believe, possibly.
Yeah, something like that.
More.
There's somewhere in the ballpark. Yeah,
yeah. There's yeah. so much music. And that's really why I chose it. I thought it was fascinating that the music goes from country to bluegrass to rock.
To blues,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
To gospel. I mean,
yeah.
it really ranges.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And it tells a common story that's relevant to everybody, especially
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So this is going to lead off your season. Is that correct?
Yeah, and what better way than, I mean, Woody's voice was the voice of the people. He's the granddaddy of American folk music. And
for a lot of other genres of music,
exactly.
too.
Exactly.
I mean, without Woody Guthrie, you don't get, to quote Chris Blissett, who is our director, without Woody Guthrie, you won't get Bruce Springsteen. Without Springsteen, you won't get, you know, the Hold Steady or any of these other up-and-coming rock bands. And aside from them, you wouldn't have, you know, Bob Dylan and Tom Petty and Johnny Cash and all of these different artists that all stem from one man with a particular voice, one guitar, and a body of people to listen to.
Wouldn't that be interesting to have all those musicians in one stage?
Oh, my
it
goodness.
Would be.
Can you
and have them all just add. You've got something bigger here.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we had such a great time with the Johnny Cash Show with Ring of Fire.
That's right.
On such a deeper level, bringing it to Charleston Correctional Facility was mm-hmm. something that I'll never forget, and I'm thrilled that we're bringing Woody Guthrie's American Song there. We're also playing
Likewise.
The country, the Common Ground Festival, mm-hmm. Sharing the people's sharing the people's words with the people,
yeah.
I think
mm-hmm.
is really, really powerful.
And giving people words that maybe they didn't know was theirs.
Exactly.
Or
yeah.
were theirs, you know.
Well, and that's what I think makes Woody Guthrie so special is that he, you know, in it he talks about his personal life a little bit, but just very little. You really get a taste of what he was seeing and witnessing, and so yeah. in that, through the eyes of other people. And so when you... I've been thinking about this since we said it. We were talking about like the stories of people that you forget, and I think that he was such an individual voice for so many that people today. That's what people want. They want a voice for their individual self, and hopefully that grows into a multitude of voices. And I think that's how it's also relevant today. Is that people nowadays want a voice to collect all of their individual voices and be heard. And I think that Woody Guthrie was able to capture that, and that's why it's going to be such a hit with, you know, when we're at these, you know, the Common Ground Fair. And we had, we did just a very small snippet of the show at Scenes and Songs, which everybody gets a little snippet from the whole Penobscot Theater season. And people loved it. It was, they were so kind with their energy to be so involved with it, and they understood it. And we were just a very small part of being able to take Woody's voice and spread it with everyone.
Let me ask you guys a question I probably shouldn't ask.
Oh, no, you cannot know my social security number.
But I've been known around here of asking embarrassing questions.
Okay.
Like, Michael, what the hell are you doing in this show? There is a political edge to all of this. Mm-hmm. And something you said stimulated my thoughts mm-hmm. that so often it's interesting to watch a singer like Guthrie go through life taking notes and turning those notes into music.
Mm-hmm.
There's a political edge to a lot of what he picked up over the years.
Mm-hmm.
That political edge was as much him as any other descriptor of him.
Right.
Is that something that it's worthwhile moving into? Are you going to?
Well, Jeremy and I were talking about this in the car.
We were talking about it in the car. You know, so much of what's happening in our country today is so politicized and is so polarizing, you know, in whatever the issue or the conversation is that each side may be having. But what we've really tried to focus on, and Chris, our director, has been really wonderful in that, where this show is not, we don't lay into the politics in a way that, you know, will separate red or blue or anything like that. It's we've taken the approach of these are human issues that we all experience, whether you voted a certain way or didn't vote at all or whatever the case may be, you know. It just comes down to person connection and taking care of one another and taking care of the world and this planet and just trying to, you know, put a little good back into the world and see just how far that can take us. And everyone kind of picks up with that and runs with that. And it's really that's what our main goal in bringing this show around.
And nobody's hit over the head with anything. You can draw whatever conclusion you want to
absolutely
draw.
If anything, it's
but
about
are
the
you
strength
being,
of the
are you being faithful to Guthrie by softening those edges?
I don't think we soften it. I think we just deliver it.
Yeah.
You know, we have a few songs. One in particular is a song called Deportee, the plane wreck at Los Gatos. And that was covered by many artists over the years. Dolly Parton did a famous cover of it. Willie mm-hmm. Nelson and Johnny Cash have done it. The Highwaymen, many different people. And it's, you know, obviously we have a lot to talk about when it comes to immigration and migrants in this country today. And looking back to what was happening then in this particular event, you know, Woody just told it like it was. He got the information from either what he had heard and what he had seen and what he had read, and he just put that story to music. And our goal is not to take that song and go, well, this is what we should all be thinking, and this is how we should feel about it. We just simply lay the words out in front of our audience, and we play the music as beautifully as we can, and we let that resonate. And if it pins someone to the back of their seat for a few minutes and gives them a new thought, then I think we've done our job.
If anything, he was just doing it to record history, this is what happened, and this is through the eyes of the people he was around. This was their perception of it and how it hurt. And
it's also interesting that, you know, now we're so inundated with technology and social media and news and everything. And the information is, there's so much information coming at each of us from so many different angles. And when you think back to Woody's time, there wasn't that. There were a few voices that were able to tell you what was going on.
Yeah.
And he was certainly one of those voices, whether the people he said it to agreed with him or not.
Well, being 76 years old and having gone through the 60s, I don't totally agree with you, but mainly because it just strikes me, and I could be very wrong here, Barry, but this is a show that will bring back some memories of a time when he was who he was. And I can't understand how that travel back can include the 60s and the temperament of that time.
I think the message he had on his guitar kind of says it all. This machine kills fascists. And I don't know when that started becoming a political, confusing message. It's pretty punk rock. And, the theater in itself is one of the few places where people gather. It is a center for imagination, but it's also a place of civic discourse. And that is what we are doing very directly with this show, unapologetically, without saying one thing's right and one thing's wrong, but certainly laying out historic documents, if you will, and allowing the audience to make their own conclusions.
Tova, what when you received a copy of the script, see whether you wanted to do the show, what was your reaction, and what do you want the audience to walk away with?
When I 100% wanted to do the show right away, just because from reading it and from listening to music, I mean, I just turned 22 this past summer, and so this music, other than his most famous song, "This Land Is Your Land," that little ditty of a number, I wasn't familiar with his work, and so reading it gave me a greater appreciation for something bigger than myself, and that's what I strive for with most projects that I work on. Is whether that's, if it's a comedy, it makes people laugh and maybe takes them out of their stressful world for a minute, and that makes me part of something bigger than myself. And with this one, like, Barry was saying, is that I'm able to do that so unapologetically. And so I think for audiences, I would just like them to listen to the words that they're hearing and absorb it, and then be able to think through it and help them progress as human beings and see that whether this music was written 100, 200, 300 years ago, however many years ago this is that we're still in a place where this music is relevant. And I would like for that to kind of be absorbed, and how can we better ourselves as humans and, as a community and then as a nation and as a whole, what are we doing to progress?
You said something I really like. You walk out bigger than themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
That there's something about Guthrie and his ilk that really, I went through it in the 60s. And what recurred during all of that was bigger than ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that was part of what he is all about. Jeremy, same question. What was your reaction when you saw the script? And
what really kind of blew me away was looking through the script and realizing that all of the words that we say throughout these 65 pages or so are all Woody's. They're mm-hmm. all his words, his feelings, whether grammatically correct or not. And we've had a good couple of laughs about it. You know, it's really something. And this is also a body of work musically that I was familiar with, but not super well versed in. And coming from the music side of things, in a generation that doesn't buy an album, they buy a single.
Yeah.
as you know, I'm a big vinyl and hi-fi buff. So any sort of tip of the hat I can do to the founders of what I love so much, Woody being one of those.
So when you listen to Woody, it's always with scratches.
Yeah, I prefer it actually.
Okay,
I prefer it with scratches. And even if I'm just listening on my phone, I'll make the little growl just to give myself a little authentic feel.
That's something I want to say.
That's what I do in the show. I just sit there actually and go.
We have someone on the microphone just growling.
If you're interested in what we're discussing here and wondering who is all of this. This is the Penobscot Theater Company and two of their cast from the upcoming Woody Guthrie's American Song, along with Barry Newport, who's the artistic producing director. And we have about 10, 15 minutes before a break. And after that break, I'm going to ask these folks to play some music for us.
Yeah.
The pieces from the, I might not say album. from the stage.
Yeah, it's also beautiful. I mean, it really is a stage show. It's mm-hmm. a theatrical piece, so there are quite a lot, actually, of projections in the show.
Right.
But also, I have to say that it's staged absolutely beautifully. The director, Chris Red Blissett, is also in the show, and he staged it with the help of his wife, who has the title of choreographer for this piece. But it also stars, it's a cast of six. Mm-hmm. It stars Galen Smith on upright bass. It stars someone new to our stage and a new friend in my life, John Burstein, who I'm sure many of your listeners must know. He is a true social activist in his blood, but many people know him as Slim Goodbody, the educational character from the 70s, 80s, yeah. Captain Kangaroo time.
That's right.
And it also stars Heather Libby, who's a company member and our local star, right? Mm-hmm. She's amazing.
She's incredible.
True.
Yeah.
Is there any reason, Barry, you started your season with this?
I love starting with music, okay. Number one. I wanted to coincide with the Common Ground Fair and with the Folk Festival, too. Three, I knew that a large core audience for this show would be going to Florida for the winter. And four, I was saying to Jeremy in the car that we've had this on our season docket for maybe four seasons or more. And it kept getting pushed out, And like a lot of things in life, but certainly a lot of things in theater, there's kismet involved. And this is the perfect time to be doing this show now. The message of it couldn't be clearer or stronger or more relevant than right this second.
We've talked a lot about this particular show. I also want to mention the fact that you've got a whole season coming up.
And
yep. Yeah, we're just one tiny piece of the puzzle.
This is also a Maine premiere. I mean, I think it's pretty extraordinary that Maine, which is full of folk music lovers, and I certainly mm-hmm. know that Woody Guthrie's son Arlo has been mm-hmm. in the immediate area, but all over the state many, many times, mm-hmm. including a couple weeks ago at the Criterion in Bar Harbor. I was surprised that this particular show has never been produced in the whole state. And I just know that there is a core audience for not only this music, but the values that are portrayed in the show.
Well, mm-hmm. I'm not going to leave this show behind. I just want to
Yeah. No, we have a whole season ahead.
You do. Yeah. Barry, mm-hmm. this is a season that fill four seasons.
It's a big season.
You've got a ton of stuff here.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
There's some really, really good shows. When they just did songs and scenes, which I talked about a minute ago about a snippet and the people that they have and the quality of shows that Penobscot's going to be putting on is just fabulous.
Just
fabulous.
A lot of them are really topical, too. I mean, Gaslight, we could have a whole show about that. The term gaslighting comes from this very classic melodrama, which I'm thrilled to put on the Opera House stage. Matilda is a professional main premiere.
Okay, Gaslight is in October, and Matilda is in December.
Yep, and classic comedy Don't Dress for Dinner for the middle of winter. Super funny, sexy play.
to say the least.
We have a secondary Christmas show or holiday show going on called A Kick in Your Dickens that we're doing with, which is a little naughty piece that was commissioned by us with Acadia, Improv Acadia, and they will be performing that during Matilda for adult audiences only. New Year's Eve, we have a Jerry Lee Lewis tribute.
I want to see that.
Yeah, really, really hot show on the Keys, Great Balls of Fire. We have a second production. It's not a world premiere, but it's a show that we've been developing with the playwright and a couple of theaters in Atlanta for the last year and a half called Safety Net, which actually will star the playwright, and that will happen in the spring. And we are closing out with Becoming Dr. Ruth, which tells the super interesting story about a very incredible life. And then we'll kick off the summer with another very topical show, which is 9 to 5.
And what asylum are they going to pick you up at?
All of them?
That is a tremendously ambitious season.
They all are. You know, before they happen, they're all daunting.
But
it's a little bit of everything, though. We serve a wide geographic and socioeconomic and age, and basically we try and meet people where they're at, and we're the only professional theater for miles, mm-hmm. so we serve a wide variety of plays to a wide variety of people.
Well, I think it's perhaps incumbent upon the moment to mention that Maine is so fortunate in the arts that exist in this state. And in theater, we have got, you know, in Portland and in Bangor, we've got two of the best regional theaters going. We have a growing number of other theaters and other venues growing in the state. If you just take the Blue Hills Peninsula, you can't walk down the street without bumping into someone who's in the arts somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's what Maine is all about. And you guys represent that in this particular piece.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to hearing what you play. And first of all, let you know that if you don't know already, this is WERU, Community Radio, and it really is Community Radio. It's everybody out there listening. You are all, every one of you, a part of this station and a part of this state. And I'm really taken by these folks I have here today because I think they're bringing something that's very worthwhile. So that's my plug. This is WERU 89.9 on your dial and .org. We are literally heard around the world. It's a small little station in a big state, but we are heard around the world. So now, I've got an engineer in there looking at me as if, okay, how are we going to do this? shall we start with Tova?
I think you're both going to play, right?
Yeah. So
together or separate?
Yeah, so we're going to start with a song called Worried Man Blues. And Jeremy brought his guitar, and I brought my fiddle, and we both brought our voices.
Okay.
And
they tend to come with us.
It's really handy.
Is this a song that Johnny Cash later recorded? Am I off?
I'm not sure.
I think a couple people have done this one. Okay. It's really pretty, and it's pretty good.
Okay, it's all yours.
Thank you. Takes a worried man to sing a worried song. Takes a worried man to sing a worried song. Takes a worried man to sing a worried song. I'm worried now, but I won't. Shackles on my feet. Ooh, 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 ooh.
As you guys were performing, a crowd was growing in the...
Yeah, it's amazing.
Aww.
In the other room.
Well, thank you for joining us, folks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just know that that's what will happen with this show, too. So many people are not sure that it's for them, or they think it's, old, but what it is beautiful.
It also brought home something you've been saying throughout the show. Again, I was in that period in the 60s and 70s. And my first reaction as you started singing was, oh, that takes me back.
Mm.
The second thing that came to my mind immediately afterwards is I started listening to the words.
Yes, exactly.
And the words are relevant to today.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's a line in the show where Woody in his own voice says that you'll remember and you'll understand more if I put it to music.
That's right.
He does. He calls himself your word singer. And that's been something that's been sticking
actually,
with me.
We were having a really interesting discovery. Chris, our director, has directed the show, I believe, twice, and his music directed a few times. And we were talking about this idea of your word singer. And initially we all thought, your word singer. He, takes whatever you're thinking and puts it to a song, and there it is. But your being the real emphasis there is that it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, whatever you've come from, or where you're going. that these words can speak for you.
Yeah.
And it's a really fascinating and wonderful experience.
Interestingly, we've just had a phone call from someone who wants your names given out over the air again.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. So, follow me on Instagram. yes.
This wonderful, wonderful voice coming out of Tova Volchek. Tova.
Yes. T-O-V-A and Volchek, V-O-L-C-H-E-C-K. My mama gave me that name.
Good choice. Good choice.
She's
and,
cool.
And accompanying her was Jeremy Sivelovitz.
That's right.
You did a beautiful accompaniment.
Well, thank you very much.
Jeremy plays all kinds of instruments.
Jeremy is literally so talented,
well,
y'all.
Oh, guys,
and also,
he
does every hearing you harmonize on that song. I was like, oh wow, Jeremy's singing like up so much higher than I normally hear him sing.
Well,
Jeremy also
used to
has
doing
a
Johnny Cash.
Yeah, has a very low voice.
Well, and
so
actually, so Jeremy, I do sing this song in the show with our Lord and Savior, Heather Libby, that we all love, and Mr. Slim Goodbody at times. But Jeremy actually just came up with that harmony this morning. He was like,
really?
Hey, I want to, let's sing this song, and I'll accompany you.
The arrangement that was in the book is a bit higher than I'm used to singing. So we worked out this morning. We were sitting there going, all right, well, if we tweak this a little bit and
circle back around, and we'll be okay.
And we made it through. It all stuck.
Had some phlegm that stuck too.
Yeah,
but
all right.
Sorry.
We have another piece we'd like to do.
We do. Sure.
Here.
We do.
So this one you're gonna fiddle.
I am. Brace yourself.
Have a little fiddle here. This is Oklahoma Hills.
Many a month has come and gone since I wandered from my home in those Oklahoma hills where I was born. Many a page of my life has turned, many a lesson has been learned, and I feel like in those hills I still belong. Way down yonder on the Indian Nation, ride my pony on the reservation in the Oklahoma hills where I was born. Way down yonder on the Indian Nation, cowboy's life is my occupation in the Oklahoma hills where I was born. As I turn my life a page to the land of the great Osage, in those Oklahoma hills where I was born. Where the black oil rolls and flows and snow-white cotton grows, and I feel like in those hills I still belong.
Here we go.
Way down yonder on the Indian Nation, ride my pony on the reservation in the Oklahoma hills where I was born. Way down yonder on the Indian Nation, a cowboy's life is my occupation in the Oklahoma hills where I was born. Gone, Tova. As I sit here today, many a mile I am away from the place I rode my pony through the draw. And the black and the blackjack trees kiss the playful prairie breeze, and I feel like in those hills I still belong. Way down yonder on the Indian Nation, ride my pony on the reservation in the Oklahoma hills where I was born.
That's right.
Way down yonder on the Indian Nation, cowboy's life is my occupation in the Oklahoma hills where I was born.
Let's take it again.
One more time.
In the Oklahoma hills where I was born.
Just one last time.
In the Oklahoma hills where I was born.
Boy, you make me wish I could sing.
Right? Anybody can
or
sing.
Play.
Who in the world would not want to go see a
right?
show that has that kind of music?
Exactly.
It has
that's
a lot of different
of
things. That's right. There's like
two
30 more songs
yeah.
that could come in here.
Yeah. Brace yourself.
It's amazing.
And our band features... guitar, upright bass, fiddle, banjo, mandolin, auto harp, harmonica.
Yeah.
All of the good folk and bluegrass instruments that that we could all either learn or dust off from our attic or whatever it was.
Definitely part of what's so exciting about the show, and definitely another reason why I chose it, because I just loved Ring of Fire so much, is watching these incredible performers, and I just use the word performer because they do so many different things so well, switch off harmonies, switch off our instruments, switch off physically where things are at. It's amazing.
Well, it's called being a professional.
Yeah, darn right.
A true professional. It's true.
You know, and not to in any way, shape, or form badmouth not regional, but community theater. There is a difference between a professional actor and a very, very talented amateur. And it has something to do with timing and something to do with instinct, something to do with inner monologue, something to do with
training.
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
But to be clear, every theater is a community theater.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't mean to open that.
that's box. How much time we got?
Yeah.
No, but you know, without community theater, I wouldn't be performing at Penobscot today. So, you know, maybe the calibers of the production and the spectacle might be a little bit different, but and the people that they're able to bring in, most community theaters, it's, you know, on a volunteer basis, if you will, but they're all very special places in their own way. It just so happens that Barry's able to find us and bring us in from wherever we're at. But
well, I deserve to be chastised for
how dare you? No,
because I have some friends who will definitely say something about that sentence, because every theater is a part of a community.
Yeah,
and I'll leave it at that. I can't be more hot.
It's a training ground. I mean, you know, everybody has to start somewhere.
Yeah,
and I could probably say with certainty that all of us started in an amateur circle or in a community theater.
I started in my church.
Developed, right. And I was singing at Temple. You know, yeah. I mean, it all...
The more theater that's done in the more places...
And the celebration
places,
of the arts.
The is, better, yeah, no matter agreed. If it's in a gymnasium or a parking lot, which I've done it all, you know, the more the merrier, and the healthier the ecosystem. And frankly, you know, the commercial theaters, like all the Broadway productions, are reliant on not only the regional professional theaters, but also the community theaters for their audiences. You know, the more people who can fall in love, and what I love most about Penobscot Theater Company, in addition to the incredible audiences that we serve, is the mission statement, which is to inspire a lifelong passion for the art form.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I knew all that. I was just giving you an opening.
It was a good
because
a good
I myself spent 20 some odd years in the theater and started off in community theater. Mm. So I, for all the thousands of people listening, I apologize. So we have anything else on the bill here?
We do. We have one more.
We have one more that
we could close
our little music section for you.
Yeah.
Good.
If you know it, sing along. We'll hear you.
I have to take my headphones off for this one.
Well, I should mention that the show will be up on our website in about a week or less. So if you wanted to hear this good music over again, pick it out of our public affairs section.
In the city of Pampa, the county of Gray, here's what all of them people there say. So long, it's been good to know ya. So long, it's been good to know ya. So long, it's been good to know ya. This dusty old dust is getting my home, and I've got to be drifting along. So long, it's been good to know ya. So long, it's been good to know ya. So long, it's been good to know ya. This dusty old dust is a getting my home, and I've got to be drifting along.
And that's it. That's all you get now.
No, that you've got people in the control room clapping.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I mean, I just know people are going to just be so turned on by this show. So I know that so much in my heart, really, that we're running it for a month. We're running it a week longer than our standard shows. So it runs all through September.
And it truly has something for everybody. If you have an affinity for folk music or for Woody Guthrie's catalog, this is right up your alley. If you're a young kid who has always thought about maybe music might be an interesting thing, this is the show for you. It's the families will love it, the husbands will love it.
Yeah, it's true.
It's got something for everyone. If you want to,
think my cat will like it.
He may.
Yeah,
my dog does.
Yeah. It's really got something for everyone.
It really does, and I can say that as the baby of the group, the 20, you know, freshly 22 coming in, I am enjoying it far more than I didn't think I wasn't going to enjoy it, but I didn't realize how impacting it would be.
How powerful.
And so I think that for everybody, and it doesn't just cover the theater arts, it's musicianship, right. And it's, you know, vocal, and so it doesn't matter what part of the arts
and
that you
like,
and poetry and the colors that are painted with his words are there for everybody. So whether you have a 7-year-old that just so happens to like guitar or violin, bring them.
And also an affinity for photography. I believe that a good portion of our projections is a lot of Dorothea Lange photography and photos from the era. And just it's a fascinating look at where our country not started necessarily, but where we are now and where we were then and how we got from point A to point B.
And just a fun fact: Arlo Guthrie surprisingly has a shocking resemblance to Jeremy.
We've discovered that
there is a picture that we found where I was like, "Oh my lord, this is why Barry brought Jeremy in."
When the light reflects perfectly, and my hair is just shaggy enough to work, I look like Arlo.
So if you want to see Arlo Guthrie, Jeremy's on the stage.
Now, both of you guys are multi-talented, and. Is that an assistance for? Does that help you get jobs? Help you?
Oh yes,
certainly.
The more bang for the buck.
In my experience, the last few years, actor musicianship has become its own beast. You know, in the theater, it's always been the triple threat: the actor, singer, dancer.
Right.
Well, now it's almost to a quadruple. Can you sing, dance, act, and play an instrument?
All at the same time.
Right. And in certain shows, it's can you play a multitude of instruments?
Well, is this because of the musicals, or if whatever we want to call them, music on stage has become more popular?
Perhaps that's been part of it.
I also think it reaches way back into, like, certainly training in the Del Arte world, required, actors to be able to do everything. Mm-hmm. And I think it's actually going way back,
And it's also just, every few years, it's always good to reinvent yourself or certain things. And I think within the last 5 to 10 years, there's been a big resurgence of putting the band and the orchestra on stage instead of, hiding them
in a pit
or putting them somewhere. So there's been quite a lot of work that's come that way. And I know Red, our director, has done somewhere in the ballpark of like 130 different contracts over the years
literally
of
doing
musician
it for 20
shows.
Years.
And there is actually a master's program. I'm not sure which university it is,
but in England.
There's an actor musicianship master's program, which is kind of the perfect coupling of theater and arts and music, which is fascinating.
Yeah, and it brings a new level and a new layer of creativity to theater that I think we're always looking for. Is it's not just, you know, who can kick your face, who can kick the highest. It's who can do that. And, oh, and they can play guitar at the same time.
What's amazing about both of you, and it seems like everyone in the cast, is, oh, we also need a flute here. Do you play? No, but I'll learn.
Right.
Yeah. Never
been,
say no.
Yeah, there's been quite a lot of that of, oh, you know, it would be really great if there was banjo here. And before I can even turn around, someone's picked up the banjo and is trying to work out a part. And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
We're not going to say who in the cast did it, but
you'll have to come
if
and see.
You want to come see it. Woody Guthrie, Penobscot Theater Company.
Well, what do people do if they want to come to this show?
They should visit our online box office or call us up or stop by. Our website is penobscottheater.org. Our box office line is 207-942-3333. So you broadcast around the world, so that's why I say the 207.
Yeah. Could you repeat that phone number?
Sure.
Slower.
It's 207-942-3333, 942-3333, or penobscottheater.org.
And they can go to your website and buy tickets.
Or they can stop by the beautiful, historic Bangor Opera House.
Beautiful. Yeah. I got a mini tour of it, and I have never seen a space as so rich, and it's incredible. So please stop by.
Well, unfortunately, many of the theaters in Maine over the past century or so have disappeared for high rises and things like that.
Yep, this is the last remaining one in Bangor. A lot of people don't know that Bangor was called the Little Broadway of the North because there were between seven and nine opera houses, all of which sat upwards of 2,000 people. And the Bangor Opera House, being the last one, it sat 1,750 people.
Which is incredible.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
As I recall, Portland had a number of theaters as well. Not that many, but had a number of them. One of them still exists.
The State Theater?
Yeah, State Theater. Mm. Of course, it's been vandalized a couple times interior.
Oh,
it's not what it used to be, but it's a venue for music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and, it gives people a chance to dress up and experience the rich culture that Maine has to offer. I certainly
don't even
didn't
have to dress up.
Yeah, you don't go. Come in sweats, come in your pajamas. We'll take them. I wish I could be in my pajamas all the time. I had a thought going.
I think
with
a
this,
lot of people think that it's not for them.
Right, and it is.
One of the biggest barriers for theater is that it's also often classified as an institution.
Right.
Sure.
I've really been working in the last 7.5 years here to make sure that everyone knows that it's a very democratic art form and certainly egalitarian. It is for everyone, especially a show like this.
Made for you and me.
Exactly. we have a pay what you can that we, you know, never used to advertise, but we've been advertising it more and more to make sure that everyone knows that they have an opportunity to come. And if they can't come on that night, which is the Wednesday before we open.
Right.
By the way, it's the Wednesday before we open. There's a pay what you can.
I think it's like the 4th of September.
Yeah, that's right. The 4th. Then people are always welcome to usher or volunteer in other ways. And everyone welcome always.
I wonder if we could impose upon you guys to close out with something. Is there even if you improvise something that you've been playing around with.
You like Rosemary Clooney? No.
Love it if you could just play us out here. And for those of you that want to know who's playing, again, it's Penobscot Theater Company, Tova Volchek and Jeremy Savelovitz. I think I got that right.
Savelovitz. let's do your verse, my verse, fiddle, chorus out.
Sure.
Yeah, cool.
All right, we just came up with something.
Great, thank you.
Some impromptu...
Right, impromptu something.
All right. Let me see if I remember all of my parts here.
I've been doing some hard traveling. I thought you'd know. From North Dakota to Kansas City, way down the road. Been cutting the weed and stacking the hay just to make about $1 a day. I've been doing some hard traveling, love.
I've been riding them fast passengers, I thought you know. I've been hitting them flat wheelers way down the road. I've been riding them fast passengers, dead enders picking up. up cinders. I've been doing some hard traveling, Lord Gaunty.
Scott Theater Company, American, Woody Guthrie's American Song coming up. Join, this is a show you gotta see. Take care all, see you next month.
Thanks so much for having
us. Bye, thank you.
Couple of minutes we've got left for the hour. Let's take a quick look at the weather. It's going to be a glorious sunny day of a high of 76. Right now it's 63 in East Orland. Orland, Maine is where we are, and the studios, where the studios are, the transmitter is in Blue Hill, for those of you who are visiting. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. Come back again if you're on your way out of town, but please do think about us being here at WERU.org, wherever you are. Tonight's going to be clear, then patchy fog, low of 53. And Wednesday, patchy fog, then partly sunny, high of 72. Wednesday night, showers likely, 59 degrees in the evening, 60% chance of a little bit of a drizzle or two every now and then. Thursday, looking for some pretty important work from the skies. It's going to be, there's actually a warning about this. Showers likely, mainly before 11. A lot of rain, chance of precipitation 70%, new precipitation amounts between half and three quarters of an inch. Yes, Matt.
Just wanted to take this opportunity to let folks know that we may be off the air again today. And the reason, if you haven't seen on our website or on Facebook or heard some of the talk on the air, AT&T has been working up there on their equipment, cell phone equipment, and according to FCC regulations and for the safety of the folks up there, we have to shut down the transmitter whenever they go up, and we can negotiate a little bit of a time of when it's going to happen, but not much. There's not much wiggle room.
So when's it going? Do you know yet?
Don't know yet. We're waiting on a call from them, okay. And it's very frustrating for us here inside the station, and certainly for you folks who are listening. So you can listen online at weru.org, and I know for many people that's just not the same thing, but we will. This is something we have no control over whatsoever.